listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your team the number one pick. Preferred document service providers of the Cleveland Browns, their team, OBM, with OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider
only
in
one.
Town. It's the only one, Nathan. They've it made is. Unconditional fans out of all of their customers, and that includes us. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office. When putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business, call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this football Thursday. The Browns completing their fifth day of training camp practice. And after that workout, Johnny Manziel met with the media, and we're going to listen to that news conference right now.
Just ups and downs. I don't think I have figured out by any means. But it's training camp. Some of the stuff we're going over for the first time that we briefly went over through OTAs. So getting the reps on the field, seeing it, and really just learning as I go on. I mean, it's a progress. It's really me versus the playbook right now, just getting reps with it and getting comfortable with it. That's what you have to do. You can know it, but until you really get comfortable with all the stuff, it's still a struggle.
Do you feel you'll be more natural under the lights, so to speak, when you get in a game situation?
Always for me, it's been I've been better in a game situation than I feel than I have in practice. But I have to come out here and get better at the plays and get better at the reps that I'm getting. So, I mean, that's my main thing, just keep getting better. And then when it's time to go out and play football, it's time to play football.
Is it frustrating at all that you haven't gotten reps with the ones yet?
No, not at all.
John, you're such a competitive guy. Talk about that deal at the end when offense versus defense for the orange jerseys. You guys are all for two.
Yeah, it's a competition that Coach Pett obviously threw in to get spirits live at the end of practice and to get people energized and bring a competition factor to it, because I mean, we sit out there and go against each other all day, and then when it's time to go, there's another level that it gets to. So right now we're 0-2, but we're striving to change that, and then offensively we have to execute and run our plays and do what we need to do to get the ball in the end zone or get the ball to where we need to get to win the competition.
Hey Johnny, you're such a creative player. Does this practice sometimes seem confining to you, that you just can't let it loose like you play?
No, practice is time to get better and hone in on your craft, and there will be times in games and situations in games where things break down, and obviously it's not practice, there's not coaches on the field, and it'll be a lot different, but practice is what it is, and we have to get better.
Shanahan said today that not one of you guys is ahead of the other at this point. Is that encouraging for you right now?
I mean, he's the coach, so I mean, what Coach Shanahan goes, so I don't know if it's necessarily encouraging, but it's really I'm not worried about one or the other being ahead or anything. Right now it's me making sure I know what I need to know to get out here and execute and run the offense and not have any mistakes. I mean, once I go through a couple days with non-mental errors or getting to where I need to be every single time, then I'll feel a lot better. Nothing that really one ahead of the other, who's here, who's there, that's not really on my mind at all. Right now it's me versus the playbook, and there's nothing else. Got another stuff to even be able to come out here and execute everything.
Is that why practice sometimes can look ragged? Is because you're still learning the playbook, you're learning some of the guys? Or what would be your explanation for why the offense is struggling with that?
You're talking about specifically with my group?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a rookie. I mean, I don't have all this stuff figured out. I don't know the ins and outs and every little nook and cranny, and sometimes there's a little twist on a play, and you can go in there and forget to say it in the huddle, and then from that it changes the whole dynamic. So some of these times, some of the plays I've ran for the first time, and really going back into it when we run them again, just make sure not to make the same mistakes twice. But it's a process for me. It's not something that I should just come in here naturally because I played well in college and just know how to run this offense. It's a complete 180 from everything that I've been used to, and it's going to take time. It's a process coming from a spread air raid system in college to a pro style system that's very unfamiliar with me as far as terminology and routes and being under center a lot more. But it's not something that I can't handle. It's not something that I'm not going to continue to strive and work for to try and get better at.
Johnny, what are you really comfortable with in the playbook so far? Conversely,
what do you still feel you need to work on that you're not comfortable with, and what plays in particular with the call that really gets your excitement going when you hear a call?
I mean, I can tell I'm a lot more comfortable and familiar with day one and day two install stuff just based off we've done that a couple more times than we've done stuff towards the back end of the install. So the things that we put in first and got to come around three or four times of doing it, obviously I'm going to be a lot more comfortable with that. So the things in the earlier stages, I'm obviously more comfortable. Getting in shotgun on third and down obviously is just a comfort zone for me, but I'm not saying that I'm not comfortable under center or anything like that. It's just obviously it's what I've been used to for the past couple of years, and really that's where I'm at right now.
Johnny, I've read that you guys didn't really have a true playbook at A&M. It was more like a game plan thing. Is that true, and just how big of an adjustment is it from that to what you're dealing with now?
That's definitely a bigger playbook. We had we had installs and the same stuff at A&M that we do now. It's just, I mean, one play can be this big, and then our play in our playbook can be this big now with tags, and one little tag can change the whole dynamic, like I said. So it's just different. It's just, I mean, that's really all it is. It's just different wordage and different verbiage than what I'm used to.
Do you still feel like at this point you can win this starting job?
Right now I'm not even really concerned with that. I'm just concerned with making sure I lead my group, try and get better and more comfortable with these guys, and everything else will take care of itself, whatever the case may be. I want to be a team player and a guy that can help this team get better, whether it's not playing this year, playing this year, whatever the situation may be. I mean, I'm about this team, and I want what's best for this team.
Johnny, what's your relationship like with Brian? Like, how's the interaction with you guys during this competition?
That's good. That's good. I mean, it's just we have a very friendly, very fun quarterback room. Brian, I'm learning from him. I mean, he's a guy that was in a system that demands a lot in New England, and he's a very intelligent guy that he knows his stuff really well, and you can tell that he's a professional. He's been doing this for a while, so for me it's encouraging to have a guy like that in the room, him and Tyler both, who have been in different systems and know how to adapt and how to go through training camp. Like, this is my first time, obviously, so I'm not used to this amount of length during the day of being up here, all the film, all the stuff, so it's different. To have Brian and Tyler in there is both really nice, but mine and Brian's relationship has been just as normal as everybody else in the room. I don't feel any tension or anything like that. I mean, he's helped me in situations, and I'm trying to learn from him.
Have you picked his brain, and how receptive has he been to?
I mean, I think I pick his brain more by just seeing him get on the board, him, when he's asked questions. It's always better for me to take reps even when I'm not in. So whenever he's asking a question, why, or what he saw this, and this, then I can learn just from being in the room and just hearing what he says and the type of questions he's asking.
When you list the adjustments from A&M to here, it's a long list. Is it asking too much for you to be ready to play week one?
I mean, I think I'll play whenever these coaches decide that I'm ready. I don't think there's any rush. For me, it's whenever Coach Pettine, Coach Shanahan, and the staff here decides that. I don't think they want to throw me into a situation that I'm not ready for, or something that I can't handle. So I don't know if they drafted me necessarily thinking that I should come in and start week one. I think they wanted to see where I'm at and see how I progress, and hopefully they're happy with how I'm progressing. And if not, then obviously I need to take it upon myself to step my game up and continue to learn the stuff at a more rapid pace.
When you do get in there for the scrimmages and the preseason games, how much freedom do you feel like you're going to have to run around and do whatever you want to do and kind of just be Johnny, or are you going to have to stick to their script?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to go through and I'm not going to have a lot of freedom. I mean, I think that I'm going to go run the plays that I'm called. We'll have certain checks that we can do that are allowed within our offense. And then if something's not there, something breaks down, then I think I'll be able to, quote unquote, quote you say, and do what I did in college a little bit and be smart about it. But obviously in preseason games, the goal is to move the ball down the field at all cost. And obviously try to play within the offense. And then when things break down, that's obviously where I've been good in the past, so I think it'll just come natural, and it's just go out and play football and try to execute the offense.
As your interaction has developed with Coyer, is there anything that's surprising you about him that you didn't know or expect as you got when you got here?
Well, obviously coming in, I didn't know much about him at all. So I just kind of knew who he was, got to watch him play pretty well in the games that he played last year, just briefly, and So I mean, I didn't really know a lot about him. I knew he'd been in the league for a little while, and he was a veteran. So I didn't have any preconceived thought or anything about Brian. And when I got a chance to come in and meet him, I thought he's been great towards me. He's been a great teammate, and just continuing to learn from him.
I know you haven't had a chance.
That was Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel after a very solid day of practice today. We got to see him do some quote-unquote Johnny football things, as Pat Kerwin said earlier here on the show. But we're going to keep things rocking and rolling on our star-studded day of Cleveland Browns Daily. Joining us now, NFL Network's NFL insider, Ian Rapoport. And Ian, thanks so much for being here in the Dog Bowl.
Thank you guys for having me. This is it's always fun to come out here. See a little football, probably the most intense practice I've watched. You don't see a lot of live tackling to the ground. In fact, I really haven't seen it, so it's a pretty good day so far.
So what do you think of Mike Pettine's first camp?
Intense, man. Really, really intense. And, you know, that's kind of what I thought it would be, you know, because that's the way Rex Ryan ran his camp, especially real early on. You know, there's a lot of tone setting, and there's a lot of sort of imprinting the kind of football, you know, you want to play, you know, in practice, and you do it early. And I think that's what I expect. I didn't think they would, you know, tackle guys to the ground, but, you know, as Penton was telling me today, that's basically something that they're not going to do a lot of. But, you know, today, goal line, third down, they wanted to. But, you know, you start to see the kind of coach he'll be, and you could tell the free agents he brought in. You know, bring in Dante Whitner, bring in Carlos Dansby. Those are some, you know, those are some badass guys. So you can start to figure out what this football team is going to look like.
We have Ian Rapoport with us from NFL Network. And, Ian, you just heard from Johnny Manziel meeting with the media. Your take on what this camp has, what you saw today, but in general, what this camp is going to mean relative to the timing of when this guy could be out there. As he clearly and freely admitted, there's a lot that he still doesn't know and I guess shouldn't know as a rookie.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought today was really telling. My eyes were opened a little bit. Just listen to him. He has some good gravity, some good sort of reality checks, I thought. And today, I mean, you know, there was not the sort of bravado, you know, that you expected, because obviously, you know, he's been through it a little bit. He's seen the playbook. He's had to go out and do it on the field, and he knows he's got a little ways to go, and I think that's fine. You know, it is very, very hard for a rookie quarterback to come in and start right away. And, you know, I mean, I think Mike Pettine has said it. You know, it's the cards are stacked against him a little bit. If he wins the job, he will have accomplished something great, but I don't think he has to. I don't think it's bad at all if Hoyer's a starter day one. And then you see what happens.
When you talk about this quarterback situation, it's still a team that ultimately is going to be built on the defense. What was your takeaway when you see the defense out there flying around? You said it's physical, it's tough. How good do you think this defense can actually be?
I think really good. And, you know, talent-wise, they've completely rebuilt the secondary, except for Joe Hayden, who's pretty good holdover. You know, I think up front, I don't know what Mingo's going to end up being, but obviously the skill-wise, talent-wise, he's there. But, you know, yeah, like I said, yeah, Dansby, yeah, Whitner, that is, you know, two fast, physical guys. I think Whitner really, from what I understand, has done a great job sort of running the defense.
Yep.
You know, which is something that, as complicated a system as it's going to be, you really need that on the field. And that's why, you know, bringing Jim Leonard in, I don't know what he's going to do actually on the field, but I can't overstate his value in practice and in the locker room. So assuming they know what they're doing, I think they're going to be really good, because the scheme is really going to help them. And I know players like playing it.
You know, there's been a real philosophical shift on this football team, because in just a year's time, and we know how dramatically the front office has changed, the leadership has changed in less than a year, but the willingness to do a Jim Leonard move on top of a free agency move, where you actually got older players at positions in Dansby and Whitner, But the idea that they still have something in the tank athletically, but you're putting greater value on knowledge. And look at the way the scouting staff has been put together. Look at some of the names that have been added, Billy Kuharik and Bobby DePaul, and these people with credentials, senior-level credentials, joining Ray Farmer, who has no concern about his ego or his security. He's confident enough to say, you know what, I want to surround myself with wisdom. So it seems like a team that went so strictly by the numbers and an age parameter where they wanted to be as young as possible on the field is now willing to get a little older, a little more experience. What does that say to you about this club and how it's changed in a year, Ian?
Well, first of all, it sounds like they are scouting to the scheme, you know, because you can have guys who are as fast as they possibly could be, as strong, as physical. If they don't know what they're doing, then it is completely useless. So, and it's the same thing. I remember talking to Bill Belichick about this. I mean, you need football players who know where they're supposed to be. And athletic ability is great. It's great to be fast. It's great to have the numbers and all that. But, being intelligent and having intelligent football players is as important as anything because, you know, you can show how fast you are if you blow a coverage and you got to chase a guy down as he's running to the goal line. But that doesn't really help anybody out. And, you know, about Ray Farmer, I mean, not only does he really not seem to care about his ego, I don't think he cares about anything in the outside world, what anyone thinks of him, or anything except for finding really good football players who can help them. And, you know, it's like the same thing that was going on pre-draft when, you know, the Browns weren't really going to quarterback pro days and everyone was, oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? I don't think Ray Farmer cared. I really don't. I mean, I think he knows how he wants to do things. He thinks very outside the box. He's willing to accept all sorts of ideas. And what you end up with is a little bit of a kind of like a thinking man's football team with a little more physicality.
I like that. I like that description of Ray Farmer. I'm a big fan of his, and I think he's done a good job so far. Now, the one question we haven't gotten to, which is kind of the elephant in the room for this team, is Josh Gordon's pending appeal tomorrow. How do you see that going, and then kind of what do you see left in this wide receiver group if they don't have one of the best players in the league?
Well, he wasn't here today. He's going to go to his appeal tomorrow. Obviously, when you get to this point, all you can do is present your best case, and he's going to be presenting a case based in part on that it was secondhand smoke, an argument that in the past has not really worked, but I can't speak to the specifics of this case. And God, predicting where discipline is going to fall, whether an appeal is going to work is impossible. If he's on the field at all for the Browns this year, then I think that's probably a best case scenario. But if he's not, it sounds like Miles Austin has been fairly impressive so far. I mean, if he's healthy, there's no doubt that he's a good football player. Hawkins is good. I think they're going to be a running team mainly anyway. If you get Johnny Manziel on the field in some sort of package, you run the ball like crazy, you have a couple good receivers. I mean, I think that's enough. It might not be a receiver dominated group, but I think it's enough.
Well, and Seattle didn't have great receivers. Carolina didn't last year either. When do you think we can expect the ruling on Josh Gordon? I know the appeal set for tomorrow. Should that culminate in the ruling being tomorrow as well?
I'd be surprised based on past precedent. A lot of times it comes out after even a couple of days or a week or something like that. So it might happen tomorrow, and I certainly wouldn't rule anything out, but I would be surprised based on past precedent.
And again, piggybacking off of that, and we're visiting with Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, NFL.com. How important is this ruling in the grand scheme of where the commissioner stands under such a microscope now, a spotlight after the Ray Rice suspension, the dynamics of all of that, Ian, how do they play into each other?
Well, it is certainly different from the Ray Rice situation as that appears to be more open to interpretation. Whereas, the drug rulings are more, they're collectively bargained, the penalties are already set. There are certain rules that are in place for different levels of testing and, how many times you fail a test and what the punishments have to be. It seems to be a lot less arbitrary. So it would be difficult for me to compare those two. But as far as
But public reaction, you know, you and I both know the heat is going to follow this no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to come anyway. I mean, with every, you know, with every discipline, you know, there's always public reaction. But again, I mean, the drug policy, it's all collectively bargained. So there's not a lot of leeway either way, especially if it's sort of a black and white type case.
Where do you see this Browns team fitting into the AFC North? I mean, there's a lot of optimism about the way that, you know, Mike Pettine is running things, Ray Farmer, the way they're working together, the upgraded talent clearly on the field. This team's going to be better than last year. I'm confident in that.
Yeah.
How good do you think this team could be?
I think they could be good enough to where we'll get down to the end of the season, we'll get down to December, and they'll have a chance. And, you know, I like the way the team is being built too, because they're being built as a team that can win in December and in crappy weather and in bad circumstances. And, you know, look, when everyone's tired and beaten up in December and this is a physical football team that's going to run right at you, that's hard. That's hard to defend. And if it's freezing and if, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, if they stay with it and if they're in a place where they're good enough to still be competing in December, I think they'll have just as good a chance as anyone. And if you look at this division, you know, who's the best team? Like, who stands out? We say, all right, well, they're going to win it, and who's next? It's not really like that.
I mean,
you know, Cincinnati's good. Ravens have been good. Steelers are sort of getting rebuilt on the fly a little bit. Are they got a chance?
Good, but no greats. I mean, we don't see that right now. I don't think we can call anybody a great team in the entire division, which means there's hope for everybody.
That's right.
Ian, thank you. I know you got to run, but we thank you for taking the time to join us.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. I always enjoy it.
He is Ian Rapoport from
at
NFL
Rap
Network.
Sheet on Twitter.
Yep. Follow him there and NFL.com. Check out his great work joining us. All right. We've got much more coming up. You're going to hear from Brian Hoyer, who addressed the media today. That is next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.